How is your prayer temperature? What does that look like for you? Have you ever had a problem praying? Is prayer one of those things that is neglected in your life? I love statistics when it comes to this sort of thing. Most of the statistics come from the States. However, there are always similarities between Christian believers and statistics. I take great interest in noting that in a survey of many thousands of people, Christians who consider themselves weekly Christians, who attend church or other forms of gatherings like small groups, depending which statistic you look at, which group run the statistic, between 41 and 55% of all believers say that they are faithfully praying daily. So I'm wondering this morning where you sit. Are you a daily praying Christian or are you a other type of praying Christian? And it's important that we understand how deep an emotional and relational issue prayer is. To those statistics, I would imagine a famed preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, saying this: to pray is to grasp heaven in one's arms, to embrace the deity within one's soul, and to feel one's body made a temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, to reach out to God, to have a deep and devotional relationship with our Heavenly Father through our communication of prayer. And it is a battle, as we study this week, the battle plan of prayer. Over the next 8 weeks, as I've already said this morning, we are going to engage in the deep devotional attitude of prayer before our Heavenly Father through our Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this morning, after I pray, we're just going to look at a short passage and many other passages. This particular passage will be Ephesians 6, 17 to 20. So if you have your Bibles, open that up right now. I'll give you 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1, your time is up. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love that you've given to us, the sacrifice of your Son as we've just shared communion. We thank you that you thought of us before the foundation of this world. We thank you, Father, that you've called us to yourself, and all of those who believe in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are gladdened by your presence with us through your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the love that you've shown in many other aspects of our life. But, Father, we deeply want to be devoted to you. We want to think of you well, and we want to act in accordance to your will. So as we go on this journey of the battle plan of prayer, may you gladden our hearts and convict us of the necessity to pray deeply and longingly before your throne. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 through to 20. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and for me also, that the words may be given to me to open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in the chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We see that prayer is a deeply devotional and relational thing, as I've said already 3 or 4 times. And I make no apologies for repeating myself this morning, because you need to have an understanding and a relationship with Jesus Christ that combats all things that you will endure in your life. You are not alone. Paul here says, I am not alone. Make prayers for me. I make prayers for you, that I may open my mouth to speak and proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ. We do not battle, in verse 12, if we go back, against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. And I am convinced that as we go on this journey as a church, and for those who aren't here and listening to this, that there will be something that will come along to attack and try to shipwreck what we've started. And quite often, I might say that that happens from within, not always from without. So we need to guard ourselves and guard our hearts and our minds and our tongues as we love each other, as we go on this deeply spiritual rite that we call prayer. Pray at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and persevere. Don't give up. Be watchful. Be careful. You must keep alert and persevere. In John 5:16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give to you." We are fruit bearers, and we don't do it on our own. Devotion to prayer, if you work in a ministry or you do anything in life, you are to bear fruit. And you don't do that of your own resource. You do that of the resource that comes from heaven in your giftedness. And you need to continually pray and exhort God to help you as you do things. The moment you think, I'm doing this, trouble looms. Because you are resting on yourselves, not of God. And if we look at those statistics of weekly going Christians, half of them are doing things on their own if they are not praying. And that is the reality. You cannot do anything outside of God's will for your life. In Luke 21:34 and 36, Jesus warns his disciples that great distress and opposition were coming. "Watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." In other words, following Jesus will lead to conflict and evil that surround you. Bad things happen from bad people, and good people do bad things also. We need to understand that God will reveal himself as he helps us through our prayers. Are you praying all the time? Are you giving thanks in all circumstances or only when you're in trouble? But there's something that came out of the video towards the end. The dear old lady, who I can't remember her name. Who's that?
Molly.
You notice what she did? She was praying. But what did she have with her? Her Bible. And I want to give us this morning a few examples of what it means to be totally devoted to the biblical text in line with what prayer means. What is God revealing about himself through prayer? We see in Proverbs 15:8, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." The Bible reveals that God delights in praying Christians. He delights in praying Christians. In Revelation, John describes golden bowls full of incense, filling the throne room of God with a pleasing aroma. On the odd occasion, these days I don't get to go as much. I used to go to watch Mia play netball at Mungavan. And just across the road, there's a bakery. Yeah! You're a bigger heathen as I am. Anyway, the bakery. And it's where our figures are destroyed. But you walk into that bakery, and immediately you walk into that bakery. Philip talked about baking bread. Philip would get that at home when he bakes bread. It'd drive the kids nuts, I reckon. And then there's the cakes and the pies and chips, no fush. And kebabs and chicken. Oh, I'm going to stop there. We'll be running out to go home for lunch. But you get the picture, that sweet aroma that you smell, that beautiful picture, and that smelling of that beautiful food is what God is saying and revealing to us, that when you pray,
That is what fills his nostrils. Do you get that picture? Next time you go to that bakery, Richard, you better pray.
No more for your health. What more motivation do we need, friends, than to spend time in prayer? That God is in his throne room and you are filling his nostrils with that beautiful scent and sweetness of his prayer. Psalm 50, 13 to 15 says, "Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" says the Lord. "No, therefore offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon him in the day of trouble and he will deliver you." He listens to you. And this battle plan of prayer involves the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:26, we see that God has sent his Spirit to pray for us. He has given him a command. He says, they don't know what to pray. Pray for them with these groans and utterances that cannot be mentioned. So we have this great picture here of God delighting in praying Christians. Now that's one thing, but the Bible also teaches us we are commanded to pray. We hate that in modern society, command things. No one likes to be commanded to do anything anymore. But God is saying to us the most basic principle, we are commanded to pray. Why? Because we need to take our eyes off ourselves. We need to take the veils away, take the mirror out of our road and put the mirror of God and the lens of God in front of us. It's the only way that you can do it. When you're praying, "Our Heavenly Father," you are taking away the calling of yourself to the calling of the Lord. There's no better way that you can see it. God wants us to pray. He wants to be that beautiful treasure that he is to us. He wants to be our rewarder. He wants to be our defender. He wants to love us abundantly if only we would let him. 1 Thessalonians says, "Pray without ceasing." Colossians 4 said, "Continue steadfastly in prayer. In everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God." Philippians 4:6. In everything. Pray without ceasing. Continue steadfastly. Do we get the picture? This is not a one-off thing. This is a daily, habitual right before God that we pray for all things. My father was not a Christian and he went to the grave some 20 years ago. But I remember he was always an encourager, encouraged a lot of people. And I remember at his funeral, people used to say that he encouraged all people by whatever he did. And when I became a Christian, I used to pray for my dad often. And I never saw my dad relent his life to Jesus Christ. And that saddened me. But I didn't stop. I kept going. Continued to pray. And as all the family members, one after another, we've continued to pray for my family. Some of you might be in that place and you want to give up. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop no matter what happens. God's plan will be revealed. And surely the Lord of heaven, as Philip said a few weeks ago, will do right. He will do right. People have a choice. Your choice is to pray for them. We pray because he commands it. And not only that, the Bible promises us hope through prayer. The Old Testament people often were encouraged through the hope of restoration and through salvation. We saw that if you read Judges, you see this spiraling down. You know, they sin, they're judged. They realize and repent and a Savior is sent to them, a judge. And then they're saved, and then they sin, and then they are judged, and then they repent, and then they're saved. You get the picture. It goes round and round and round and round in circles. Where are you? Chronicles 7:14 said, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Psalm 145, 18 and 19, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all call upon him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them." Jeremiah 21, 11 to 14, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and I will come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, where you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back into the place from which I sent you into exile."
Judgment, repentance, and forgiveness. And the New Testament likewise offers us hope.
John 15:7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done." Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Throughout human history, God has answered prayer. It may not be what you want, but God has answered prayer. God delights to answer people's prayer. And yet his command is supported by amazing promises. When I drove here this morning early to pray, did anyone see what was in the sky this morning? There was a rainbow. One of God's promises. He'll never destroy the earth with a flood again. When you see that, do you say, "Thank you, God, for your promise"? Or do you say, "How pretty that looks"? I hope it's the first. The Bible also encourages us with stories of success. In Luke 6:12, Jesus prayed all night. Then he called his disciples and he chose the 12. One might say, well, why did he call Judas? Where was Jesus heading? The cross. If you're going to the cross, you have to have someone to betray you. There was no mistake. Jesus prayed all night. Here is the one who was the God-man who prayed all night to choose 12 people before his Father. And he gave them success. And it's amazing, all of those other disciples, they changed the course of human history by their proclamation of the gospel. It was no accident. And Solomon in 1 Kings 3, he prayed for wisdom to rule. Then God answered his prayer because he chose that prayer. He said, "I will give you the wisdom above all." And people from all over the known world came to him to hear his wisdom. God gave him success. Elijah in 1 Kings 16:18, he gave a proclamation from the Lord that there would be no rain for 3 years. And then he gave success at Mount Carmel, when he defeated the priest of Baal. In Acts 10, we see Cornelius praying continually, a man who had not yet seen salvation, who was sensitive to God's leading, called for Peter, "Come," and Peter came. And a whole household was born into Christ's family because he prayed. And Peter was praying a different prayer on a house at Joppa. "I won't touch anything unclean." And he sends things to unclean people and they become whole in their right mind as Christian believers. For fear of retribution, I want to tell you a story that happened during the holiday program with no names mentioned. A family had been praying for 2 loved ones in their family in this church, and no doubt other people had been praying for them. And their prayer was answered. A lady dying of cancer and her husband was brought into my office, and we shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with that couple. They walked out believing in Jesus Christ and his redemptive purposes. Praise be to God. Praise be to those people who continually prayed for them. God is faithful, and he encourages us not only in the Bible with stories, but he encourages us with our contemporary stories also. So we need to continue to pray for those around us who need salvation? Are you doing that? It's vitally important. And then the Bible tells us what to pray about. In 1 John 5:14 and 15, and this is the confidence which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of him. We know that we have obtained the request made from him. How do you know God's will unless you open up the Bible and read what he's trying to convey about himself, his salvific purposes, his love for you? If you don't open up and read the Bible, it's just your thoughts, not God's thoughts, filling your heart and your mind. They go in tandem. That's why Molly, I think, got it right. She would pray. She would write notes down. She would understand that God was for her and not against her. Not my will, but yours, Lord. Understand the principle there. Not my will. If it was my will I was praying for, it would be a basket case. You'd all be Australians by now. Just thought I'd throw that in there for the chuckle. Now, let's not be... But the battle plan of prayer serves us well when we read. When we open up the loving word of God and pray through what it says, our hearts will be gladdened. Do you do that? Because if you don't do that, it is, Lord, I need. Because that's not his will. So as we make this first full week of our Battle Plan for Prayer series a revival of prayer in our church and our lives, I trust that you will take the lessons that it teaches through the book, for our own selves, that we might take on board what it says. Let the Bible reveal a God who loves the scent of our prayers and knows he desires to respond. Obey his command and have an attitude of continual prayer. Continual prayer. Be encouraged to pray by the remembering of the promises he has made to those of faith who called on God with all their heart. And we know in the Old Testament and the New Testament saints that they failed. They messed up. But they went again. And we continue in our contemporary society need to go again. Do you recognize that today that you are here who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and are an answer to prayer? Someone must have been praying for you. Someone must have been praying for your salvation. You need to do likewise for others. And as you read the Bible, pray using the words of the Bible. It's my firm belief that we should devote ourselves in both actions, reading and praying. Devotionally, they are spiritual disciplines that are important to us. They are not to be rejected by the saints of God. They need to change and shape our lives. If you don't do them, your lives can never be changed. And I stand by that. If you don't read the Bible, how can your life be conformed to God's will? If you don't pray to God, how can you have a communication and a relationship with him? So the response I leave to you. My prayer is that we don't have anyone in this church that fits into the 41 to 55% category. That we have 100% of daily devotional, Bible reading, praying people. And to that end, I finish and hope that God will bless you, keep you, and may his face shine upon you as we continue our journey as devoted believers, passionate believers, ambassadors for the gospel's sake.
That is our mission of our church. That is our hope. And that is our dream. Let us give thanks. Are you going to lead Richard into the next period? And then Richard will open up in a minute for an open time of prayer, a time to give thanks. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, praying is a hard thing sometimes. But we know that you are devoted to seeing your saints do right. Your Bible continually convinces us that we need to have a deep and longing relationship with you. And we know that because of the cost of your son's sacrifice. But as he was taken away from the earth, he said, I leave you a comforter, I send another. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is within us. Father, my prayer is for myself first and my brothers and sisters here in Christ, that we would be totally devoted to seeking your will in our lives through knowing you more intimately and more deeply, and that we would totally rest on your goodness and not of our own efforts. But mark this day and perhaps the days forward as the day that we stood firm in our conviction to follow you wholeheartedly. So we give you thanks today. In your loving kindness, as we think well of you and love you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.